This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, give us your Holy Spirit so that we may stand before you as intercessors who have hearts full of love for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing sermons based on the readings from Romans. We've been hearing about God's great love for us in Christ Jesus, that God shows his righteousness, his justice, in forgiving sins. That God's love for us is seen most clearly in Christ's self-sacrificial death for us. Even as enemies of God, Christ dies for us. And we heard a great crescendo of confession of faith at the end of last week's Romans reading. Let's hear those words again. Famous words from this book. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, amen to that. You could ask, what more is there to say? Surely with a great crescendo of confession of faith, the book's going to end. There'll be no more to say except thanksgiving. And yet listen to what St. Paul writes immediately after these words. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. How could such a confession of sorrow and anguish follow immediately on a great confession of Christ's love for us and our inseparability from the love of God? What's going on? Let's think about this first of all from a worldly point of view. Can great love and joy coexist also with distress and sorrow? They can. I've experienced it in my own life. Let me give you one example. When my second child, little Francesca, was born, there were complications in the childbirth process. Of course, it was a day of great joy and delight because there we had this darling little girl given to us as a gift from God. But immediately after the birth, I saw my wife in distress, wheeled up to face emergency surgery. So great joy and great distress. And do you know where it led me? Straight to the chapel of the hospital for great intercession. I don't believe. Anyhow, sorry. I think that sort of thing, you know what I'm talking about, makes us understand there's a connection between love and anguish, especially for those who are close to us. Now today in the reading from Romans, we have St. Paul with real heartfelt love, thinking about his own people, the Jews. He's someone who's proclaiming Christ, he's an apostle. But it's not as if he has said of his own people, to hell with them, or of his own heritage, who cares? In fact, by receiving the gospel, St. Paul has come to a greater appreciation of his own heritage, a deeper appreciation, and also a deeper love for his own people. And through this, God has made him a great intercessor for his own people. So we're going to think about this today. We're also going to think about how God calls us, as his people, to have great love for those who are not part of the church. Maybe our own family members, maybe people who are close to us in the workplace or friends, not to write them off, but to stand before God as intercessors for them. So there's great good news in today's Romans reading, that we do not need to be people who harshly condemn others. Instead, we can let the gospel transform us, grow us in great love for others, and pray in Christ's name for them, to pray in a way that they cannot pray themselves. Let's listen again to what St. Paul says here.
I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart.
So Paul is going to go on and say something outrageous, and he wants us to know that he's not just speaking rhetorically or for effect. What he's about to say, he really means. He's speaking the truth in Christ, if you like, calling on God as a witness and his own conscience as a witness to what is going on. So Paul is saying, listen closely now. What I'm about to say is the truth, and understand what this means. Now listen to what he says. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. Now nothing can separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. But St. Paul here is saying, if it could, I would willingly forego my salvation for the sake of my fellow countrymen, my fellow Jews. What an outrageous thing to say. Now, I don't think I'm so far down the path in holiness that I could say the same thing regarding anyone else. I would not want to lose my salvation, and I think that's because my love is not yet strong enough for others. But think about how Paul speaks here. Such great love did he have for those who rejected the message that he proclaimed, that he would willingly suffer damnation for their sake, if it could bring them home. St. Paul, in other words, not just an apostle proclaiming the gospel, but a great lover, made such by the gospel. Someone who showed real heartfelt love for his own people that led to action. We're going to hear about Paul's intercession directly. But before we do this, it's good for us to realise that a leader being an intercessor, even for those who have rejected God's word, is not unknown elsewhere in the Bible. In fact, it seems that when St. Paul speaks this way, he's harking back to Moses and what we read about Moses in Exodus chapter 32. Listen to the words that are recorded for us there. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold." You know, this is the golden calf incident. And God has declared his willingness to destroy the people for their idolatry. Moses doesn't argue with God. He agrees that the people are sinful, that they are idolaters who deserve divine punishment. But listen to what Moses goes on to say. "Yet if only you forgive their sin. But if not, if you won't forgive their sin, blot me out of the book that you have written." He does not want to stand aloof from his people, even in their sin. If God's going to destroy them because of their idolatry, Moses is saying, then go ahead and destroy me as well. Who chose Moses? Did Moses put himself up for the job? God chose him. God chose him, yes, to proclaim a message that idolatry is sin. But God also chose him to be an intercessor, to speak up for this sinful people. There is great love there, which shows itself in real intercession, and even an attitude towards God, which asks God to take this love seriously. St. Paul is doing the same thing, to a greater extent, we could say, even saying, not just kill me, but damn me, if possible, for the sake of my people, the Jews. He knows this can't happen, but he's speaking the truth in conscience. He wants us to understand this. And then he goes on to say this about his people. And by the way, sometimes in conversion, it can be very tempting simply to write off where we've come from and to treat it as if nothing good has come from there. It's not what St. Paul does. It's not what we have to do either. St. Paul is able here, in the words we're about to hear, to speak very clearly about the good things he received from his own heritage, from his own people, from his own background. This suggests that we can do the same as well. Be thankful to God for what we've received even before we had come to faith. He says of his own people, they are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption,
the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. Paul here naming all these great gifts of God given to the Old Testament people, gifts which still are for us even now. So, for example, today we hear the psalm, we hear the reading from Isaiah, and the great good news this brings. We don't simply say about the Old Testament, that's for the Jews, forget it. We understand these are real gifts to be honoured, treasured, kept. And when it comes to God's word, we listen and ponder to this day, indeed God's word to us. But St. Paul leaves the greatest gift to last. And from them, from the Jewish people, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now just one note there. It's very difficult to translate this passage into English. It could be that St. Paul is saying that the Messiah, Jesus, is the one he nominates as God blessed forever. In other words, this reads straight as a great declaration that Jesus the Messiah is God over all. That's a natural way, and dramatically the most natural way to take this. It could also be that Paul is here giving a blessing to God as he meditates on Christ the Son of God. It's hard to say. Either way, the Messiah is the greatest gift, according to the flesh, a Jewish man. Nothing to be treated as rubbish, to be left behind. On the contrary, to be exalted, to be praised. St. Paul is not rejecting, but affirming the gifts God gave through his people. And it's on this basis that he has his great love for them. Now, in the next three chapters of Romans, St. Paul is going to develop God's ongoing faithfulness to Israel. When God makes a promise, he does not take his promises back. So he can be sure that his promises stand firm also for his people, the Jews. Just like his promises in Christ Jesus stand firm for us, we don't need to doubt them. So Paul will meditate on this in depth in chapters 9, 10 and 11 of Romans. But at the beginning of the next chapter, chapter 10, he says these words, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." These are people who had despised Paul, struck him, rejected him, persecuted him. But his heart's desire for them was not damnation, but salvation. And his prayer and intercession for them was salvation. The gospel transformed St. Paul's heart and moved him from someone who hated to someone who loved more deeply than I can understand. And he showed his love also in intercessory prayer. This is great encouragement for us, because sometimes as God's people we are tempted to hate, especially tempted to hate people who speak badly of the church or who persecute Christians. And sometimes we're tempted to treat our own heritage as simply nothing but rubbish. So Paul here is giving us encouragement, God through him, that we can give thanks for the gifts that we've received. And rather than hatefully condemn others, we can stand before God and pray for them. Let our hearts be moved in love, even for those who've rejected the gospel, and speak up to God for them. This indeed can be the cause of anguish and distress. But it's an anguish and distress that shows itself in action, and the greatest action we can do as Christian people, which is praying for others. Will God be praised that we are free to do this? It's God who's freed us from slavery to sin in Christ Jesus. We no longer need to obey the commands of the flesh or of the evil one or of the world. We are free to live as different people, indeed as intercessors, as prayers, as people with deep love, even for those who oppose us. May God grow us in this life so that our community here continues to be salt and light in this world. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.